Well, I really enjoyed, I don't know if that's the right word, but I appreciated Phil's sermons this past week. And now you're stuck with me again. So, but you'll notice the title of the sermon, Preach the Word. I want you to focus on that. We're going to look at the passage that's it in just a moment. But I want you to focus upon that word. I'm going to read a number of scriptures. Listen carefully while you are looking at that phrase, preach the word. John 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in John 17:17, during Jesus' prayer before He was betrayed, sanctify them, he's talking about the apostles, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 16, beginning in verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, as he's speaking to his apostles. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. And then, of course, in Matthew 18, beginning 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Our text today is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. This is one of the last things that Paul ever wrote. And Paul is encouraging a young preacher to preach the Word. And when we think about those passages I just read, we realize that the Word is the Word of God. And that Word that created everything and holds all things together took on human flesh in order that that Word could be revealed more fully to us. And the call to listen to that word, to learn from it, to trust it, believe it, and to follow it. It's all of God. And so Paul committed his life to preaching the word of God, the very message of God to people. And that's what he tells Timothy. That's your job now. So in 2 Timothy, beginning in verse 2 of chapter 4, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge the duties of your ministry. The first thing Paul says is what is true and must be true for every single preacher. That is to preach the word. To preach the word. Not political debate, not the social things that people want to accept, not make people feel good and comfortable in their sin, but to proclaim the Word of God. What God has revealed to proclaim. In 2 Timothy 2:2, you know, Paul tells Timothy, "The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." The Word of God has been preached through the centuries through men of faith. Oh yes, there are many who have perverted the gospel. Even to this day, you know, we find great perversion. But the men who are reliable, and that word can mean trustworthy and capable, to actually teach others the Word of God. And the word for qualified in the NIV literally means people who have arrived. That means have grown and matured in the Word of God. To know what God's Word says, well, it's an ongoing learning process, but able to share what one's learned with others. And that should be true of every preacher. To be prepared at all times to share the Word of God. To proclaim the truth. Because only the truth can set people free. Only the truth. Jesus said that. And truth is God's Word. And even when we live in a world where all kinds of political views are out there, all kinds of philosophies are out there, it's not about just picking which one you like, because none of them are right. Because if there's even a little bit wrong, then it's not right. You can have 1 plus 1 is 2, and 2 plus 2 is 4, and 3 plus 3 is 7. No, it's all wrong. It must be right. And so Paul is telling Timothy, be prepared to proclaim the Word at all times. Be ready to share with people the truth. And for a preacher, it's not my political view. It's none of your business. It's not talking about, you know, gossiping about other people's sins. But rather, it's proclaiming the Word of God. And the Word of God does have its application to politics. It does have its application to personal issues. It has its application for every aspect of life. But the point is, proclaim the Word of God. Jesus preached and he taught for 3+ years. You never saw him carry a picket sign, did you? You never saw him, you know, tell people, well, let's go march on Rome. Why? Because the message is what was important of reaching individual people and saving people. And as Christ saves people, he begins to help them to change. And as they're willing to learn from the Word and endeavor to follow what God says in his Word, then how we view politics, how we view life's situations, how we view our own life begins to fall in line. Because nowhere in Scripture does God ever say you got to be good enough first before you come to me. You come to me and I will change you. But you got to be willing to follow. And so to preach and then to challenge. That's what it means there about correct, rebuke, and encourage. Nobody's got it all right. People are wrong in their views, in their attitudes. And that's true for all of us in some measure. And so the point of preaching is to help us see what God's Word says so we can think through our life's decisions, our circumstances, and decide, do I listen to this crazy world or do I listen to God? And the sad thing is, it's easy to listen to the world because we're bombarded by it all the time. But to listen to God, it means we have to think. We have to listen. We have to be in His Word. And even when I'm preaching, or anyone's preaching, we need to be like the Bereans in the book of Acts, who when Paul was preaching, Scripture says, they went to the synagogue and looked up what he said to see if what he said was true. And in the book of Acts, God says, those people were more noble. Why? Because they wanted to believe God, but they wanted to make sure what they heard was indeed the Word of God. When was the last time we did that? When was the last time we heard something and then we thought, oh, well, let me check that out and see if that's true? We're supposed to. Because Because the whole point of preaching is to get us to listen to the word and to think about it and respond appropriately. The day of Pentecost, 3,000 people responded because of Peter's preaching. But then they were expected to grow, mature, and the church grew to 5,000, and then they scattered. And what happened? The 12 apostles who were preaching and teaching stayed in Jerusalem. So how did the word spread? Well, people believed, they learned, they trusted God, and they shared it with people that they came in contact with as they scattered out of Jerusalem because of persecution. The challenge is helping people to correct their thinking if their thinking is not in tune with the Word of God. To rebuke, there are times where, you know, we know what God says, we don't want to do it. You know, we're hesitant to obey. We like our sins. And so sometimes there needs to be rebuking. And encouraging, sometimes it's not easy doing the right thing. Sometimes, you know, we can face some opposition. And we need some encouragement. And so the preacher needs to make sure, as he's proclaiming the word, that all these things take place. But he says, do it with great patience and careful instruction. To teach and preach carefully. Great patience. You know, in the workplace, people, you know, bosses have expectation. You know, every level of the workplace has expectation, and they can tell their work, this is what you do, and this is how you do it. And if you can't do the work, you know, we'll find someone who can. Preachers can't do that. Why? Because we don't have a product. We're proclaiming a life-giving, changing message that's important for the heart, mind, and soul of every individual. And everyone progresses at their own pace. No one responds the same way. You know, some people hear and where they are in their life, they go, oh, this is wonderful news. And then there are others that can take 20, 30 years for it to finally sink in to the point where they're ready to surrender their life to Jesus. It takes patience. Just like being a parent with our children, there are times to correct, times to rebuke, times to encourage, but always with patience, because we love them. And to be careful in instruction, what that means is to make sure that what you are proclaiming is indeed correct, that it is the Word of God, because it's easy to misspeak, to allow prejudice or tradition or other people's views to get in the way. You know, Paul told Timothy a little bit earlier in chapter 2, he said, do your best to present yourself to God, as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. See what that verse says? Present yourself, do your best. That means work hard at it to present yourself to God. Every preacher is directly responsible to God to be right with His word. Doesn't mean perfect, but that he's proclaiming the word of God. And when he willfully abuses the word, changes the word, changes what God says, he becomes an enemy of God because he's busy leading people astray. It's no wonder in the book of James, God tells us that teachers will be judged more strictly. Why? Because mainly the influence and leading people astray. And when you think about children, Jesus beat the mafia. He who would lead a child astray should have a millstone hung around their neck and thrown into the sea. You see, it's serious stuff. God's word is about life. God has given us life. He created us. But now in Christ there's new life that will last forever. But those who don't really want God's life, don't want God's way, will not get God's way. And they'll get their own way temporarily and then lose it all. Because in verse 3 it says, a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. That is, they don't care what God says. Instead, to suit their own desires, that's what it comes down to, desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. People love to reject sound doctrine. Maybe it's because we don't like to be told what to do. And sometimes we just don't want to do things God's way. Because we have desires. We have desires. We want what we want, don't we? We human beings. And so sometimes when, even as Christians, we can say, well, God, I know what you say, but, you know, look what the scientists are saying. Look what the doctors are saying. Look what the historians are saying. You know, I'd rather believe the ideas and the desires and views of men, Lord, rather than yours. And so they choose to follow false teachers who tell them what they want to hear. I Googled something the other day on my computer. I just put in the question, why is the news media today so biased? I just Googled that. And an AI answer came up. And the AI answer said it's about money. Because every time we go onto the computer or on our phone, that's all big monitored. Computer. You know, it's not Big Brother himself standing there looking, oh boy, you know, I wonder what Matt's doing today. No, it's all computer. It's all computer. And it's all combobulated together, put together and composed so that whatever news feed you get is catered to your bias, to the things that you look at online. So if you have a certain bias, your news feed is going to predominantly be that. Because you're going to be drawn to that and to the advertising and everything that's there. So I might have one view. Marcus might have another view. But when we get our news feed, our news feeds are not going to be identical. Isn't that interesting? Why? Well, one, stir things up politically. But it comes down to money and power. People, they know. The people in the advertising industry, in government, and in the computer industry, they know that people will tend to want to follow what they want to follow. And so our media gives it to us. It's interesting because on Facebook, you know, you have to be careful when you click like on something. You know, I was like, back in the 60s, I always liked the Byrds and the Kinks, rock groups. And not too long ago, something would pop up about one or the other, so I could click like. And now that those two fill up about 60, 70% of my feed on Facebook. I also remember, how many of you remember the 60s British show, The Avengers? I'm not talking about the thing that's popular today. This was a kind of a spy show back in the 60s. I clicked that too, because it just happened to appear. That's the balance of what I get on Facebook. Why? Because computer somewhere has generated this thing that, oh, Steve Dunham likes these things, so let's give him a lot. And I have to admit, I'm enjoying looking at those old pictures and scenes from the old shows and, you know, the history of some of them, the music. But does it help anything? No. Does it inform me of anything? Not really. It's all reminiscent of the past. And it feels good for the moment. And, of course, there's advertising. But I made the commitment years ago, if I see a commercial, and if it's something even I'm interested in, I just won't buy it for 6 months. That's just me. But people hear and follow what they want to follow, and they turn from the truth to follow lies. Why bother trying to figure out what's true when it's so easy just to believe whatever you're told? I mean, trying to find the truth takes work, takes effort, doesn't it? You remember the days where people would get the newspaper, you know, maybe the paper boy would throw it against your house and you go out and get your newspaper and you'd sit there and just pour through it. Until the newspaper became mostly ads, but that's where we got our news. Used to watch TV and the news, and the news was full of news until it got to the point where it's mostly commercials. And I look at the news feed on my computer, and there's very little news compared to who's dating who, who's wearing this provocative outfit. Garbage. So, where's the truth? Well, folks, in a world that is caught up in all of that, we have the truth. It's in the Word of God, and that's what we're to proclaim in hopes that people just like you and I will listen to God and follow. He tells him here, because of all this, people turning away from him, from the truth, he said, you, however, keep your head in all situations. That is, remember who you are and what you're here for. You're here to proclaim the good news, no matter what the situation. Endure hardship, because sometimes people just don't want to hear it and can give you grief. Do the work of an evangelist. That means keep sharing with people. Keep preaching no matter what. Preach the truth. And do all that a minister should do. Paul's telling Timothy, you know, you can have family, you know, you can enjoy life, but remember, you are here first and foremost to preach. And folks, that's also true of all of us. Whatever our occupation, whatever our situation in life, as Christians, we are here to preach the Word, to share with people God's Word. It's fun to talk about opinions, and it's fun to talk about ideas and concepts that the world throws around, but we need to know the truth personally and be willing and able to share it at any time. We're told in Scripture that we should always be ready to give a reason for why we believe in Jesus. We should always be ready to share with someone about why we believe in Jesus and why they should too. In season, out of season, doesn't matter. We each must always be ready to share why. Why do I believe in Jesus? Why do I follow? And when we have that answer, we need to also make sure that we are indeed following what we're saying. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but we need to show where our heart is. And our heart must be with the Lord. So when you're looking at preachers and hearing them, you know, if anything sounds a little odd, always check it out. Always check me out. I can make a mistake. Because it's a matter of life and death. And the Word should not be opinion. The Word is Jesus. The Word is from the mouth of God. The Word is what God has revealed to His apostles and that which has been written down for all generations. And as Jude said, we're now to contend for the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. The faith does not change. The truth does not change. God's Word does not change. It's always applicable to life, which is always changing. And yet the human condition is always the same. And so God's Word is always applicable. Let us never, ever underestimate it. Right now, we're going to sing a song called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And it's a beautiful little hymn. But people today will say, and I've had preachers tell me this, Doctrine doesn't matter as long as you love Jesus. And they can't see the absurdity of that statement. How can I say, Lord, I love you, but I don't give one bit about what you believe and what you teach? I love you, Lord, but I think you're wrong. I love you, Lord, but you know what? I've listened to so-and-so, and he's got a better idea. Does that sound like love? No. If we love Jesus, that means we're going to love him, the Word of God. Let's stand together, shall we, to sing.